Christ, faith, just believe in him, you have eternal life. There's nothing added to that at all. You don't add baptism to it. You don't add church membership to it. I mean, those are good things. It's just not that you have to add anything to salvation. Salvation is a free gift, totally free. Nothing you can do to earn it. And so when you read the book of James, in James chapter 2, some people come to the conclusion, well, that's not what James says. James says you really got to have works or you can't be saved. But that's not what he's saying. He's basically saying is that if you have faith, you will have works. Again, that whole idea, as Paul was writing, the assumption is, as a Christian, born-again Christian, that those things come with salvation, a new creature in Christ, as we continue to grow in Christ and become more like him. So, this afternoon, we're going to look at this, beginning verse 14 down through verse 26, just entitled the message that faith has an action. Faith has an action. And it's true. What we believe in, we act upon. We'll do something about. Okay? And that's the way it works for everybody, lost and saved alike. Whatever their faith is in, they're going to act upon it. So let's go ahead and read down, beginning verse 14 down through 26, and then we'll look at this afternoon. James chapter 2, beginning verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. We see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Father, we thank you again for this time this afternoon. We thank you for these men and women in the Bible that, again, you've guided and directed and had your words penned. Father, help us to look at this and have clear understanding of this and knowledge of what you're trying to teach us as James penned these words to the scattered tribes of Israel, Father. And I pray that they would help us and help us to understand the things that are important in this life. We thank you again for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So faith without works is lip service. Faith without works is lip service. And that's what it becomes, because when we don't do something or back up what we're going to say, then where is our faith? James is putting forth this question. It's a rhetorical question, which means there's an answer to it. That word profit means benefit. In other words, he's saying, what doth it benefit, my brethren, though a man talk about his faith and he has not works? What's the benefit to that? I got faith. There's nothing behind my faith. There's no action behind my faith. There's nothing that I do. I say that I'm going to do this or I believe this, but then there's nothing that demonstrates that I'm going to do it or believe it. And then he asked that question right after it. Can faith save him? And everyone in this room would think, yes, faith can save you. But see, he's not looking at it from, again, from the point of view that, as Paul has written in the book of Romans, God to man. He's looking at it from man to man in the sense that the question is, hey, really it's a rhetorical question, but it bids the answer to be no. No. Can faith save him? You go, what are you talking about? Well, let's listen to it. We know that this is, if you will, a violation of Scripture in the fact if you take it from the pure sense, not in the context of this, but if you were to ask me, can faith save a person? Faith in Jesus Christ can save a person. Yes. Faith in itself can be in anything. The object of your faith is important. And the Scripture clearly teaches us that we are saved by faith and faith alone. Ephesians 2:10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. So again, we know that there's nothing we can do to intercede for salvation. Salvation is putting our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done. When he died, he's buried, he rose again. And once you do that, again, you are saved and you are kept by the power of God. The Bible teaches us there's nobody can change that. You yourself can't change that. But he's really not talking about that. He's not denying that faith alone can save. But what he's saying here is that faith that justifies can never be alone. And what does he mean by that? A faith that fails to produce good works in your life is not a living faith at all. And it cannot save. It's easy, and you can know this in your life, and others can know this. If you put your faith and trust in something, whatever that is, Jesus or whatever, then your faith is that you believe that. And if you believe something, what are you going to do? You're going to act upon that. You're going to go do something about that. You believe snowmobiling is fun. Not that you have faith in it. The parents said, no, I don't. But that's something maybe you would do. That's not a good example. Sorry. Bad example. I think James gives a good one in verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And the point is if you say you're alive, but you have no... I've probably got this wrong, too. If you say you're alive and have no breath, then you're not alive. Because to be alive, the evidence would be that you're breathing, kind of thing. In other words, I'm alive, well, I'm breathing, or vice versa. If I'm alive in Christ, then I'm going to do something about that. Because the Spirit that resides in me and the Spirit resides in a believer is going to lead us to do something based on the faith I have in Jesus Christ. I've got a ringing in my ear. Who's calling me? No, just kidding. And that's what happens, is that there will be an action. We're going to see that in just a minute. It's not just a head knowledge, and a lot of people have a head knowledge about Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I could have told you that in October the 25th, 1992. If you'd have asked me, I could have probably preached you a message from the Bible, but I wasn't saved, even though I was thinking I was. A head knowledge is what I had. I learned verses because they told me you had to have a verse to know that you were saved when you raised your hand. But faith that is fruitless can't save either. Meaning that if you're saved, there's going to be fruit. Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Turn to John chapter 15 for a second. Jesus explained some of this about the faith and the works. They come natural to the Christian as we grow in Christ and learn what the works are. And Jesus was sharing, he was after the Lord's Supper on the way to the garden. He spoke, maybe this is what prompted him to talk about the vine and use this analogy, but in John chapter 15 verse 1 he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, he gets rid of parts of the vine. He doesn't take that away, but he purges it. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. Excuse me, much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So without faith in Christ, say I have faith in Christ, you're not doing anything. But when you have faith in Christ, you're going to have fruit. There's going to be something there that indicates that you are or have faith in Christ. There's going to be a result that takes place. You're coming to church on a regular basis. That's one of the fruits of the idea that you're coming to church and you're wanting to serve God. You're doing some work in the ministry. You're studying the Word of God. You're trying to grow in Christ. You're trying to find out more about Him. You're demonstrating the action of the faith that you have in Christ. In verse 6, he says, If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So that's basically what James is talking about here. He's not saying that you have to have works for salvation. He's saying once you get saved, you will have works. That will be the natural outpouring of what a born-again Christian will do. Will have works. You'll have love for the brethren. That's evident here. And so that's part of that as well. There's a lot of things that are part of it. And so the evidences are there that you have put your faith and trust in Christ. If there is no evidence, then your faith, and he's going to tell us this, is dead. He gives us an illustration. Look at verse 15 and 16. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Or what does it benefit them? So the idea is that you see a situation, instead of, hey, I'll pray for you, which is, you should pray for folks, but if you have the means to meet the need, then meet the need. And maybe you think you don't have the means to meet the need. Meet the need. Okay, sorry, it's getting late already. But I remember, anybody ever see Sheffy? Probably all of us saw it 3 or 4 times. Older people saw it much. We don't show it much anymore. But there's a part in Sheffy when he comes along, these folks that had a wagon, I think. I might have this a little bit wrong. But anyway, he comes up, he's riding his nice white horse, and he comes up, and I think it was white. I don't remember if it was white, was it? Thank you. Anyway, he comes up, the wagon was there, and their horse, I think, was laying down dead, if I remember right. And he came to him, and he asked, what happened? What happened? And they were telling him, and he got off his horse, and he grabbed his lambskin, and he was getting ready to help him, and says, let me go pray about this. And that second, he turned around, the Lord smote his heart, and said, I don't have to pray about this. He took his saddle off his horse, took all of his stuff, and said, here, you take Gideon, I think his name was. And he gave his horse right then and there. He had it, he gave it, he saw the need, he met the need. Again, that is exactly what this is saying here, is that that your faith is going to be demonstrated by works. It's a faith that is real, a faith that is concrete, a faith that has action behind it. And so James in verse 17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Again, he's going back basically to that question, can faith save him? And again, it's in a conditional statement. And he's saying, if it hath not works. And then he says, then faith, or it, is dead. And you think about that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If you have faith in something, again, there's going to be a result to that. That result is going to bring forth an action that demonstrates that you do have faith. Do you have faith that Jesus saves? You say, yes, I do. He saved me. So what would be one of the actions to, well, there's so many, but one of the things that's an action to that is to reciprocate that, is to help somebody else see. Because if it's real in your life, you know how it changed you, how it made a difference, and how it saved you from eternity in hell. And that same message can save somebody else. That's kind of a type of thing. Is when you have that faith that Jesus can save, well, yes, he saved you, but can he save anybody? Yes, he can. And you go out and share with others that that's part of that. In verse 18, he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, somebody else, James is saying, may say, a man may say, you have faith, I have works, the man may say. And then James, he speaks again and says, show me thy faith without thy works. Show me. And then he says, hey, I will show you my faith by my works. The works follows the faith in Christ. And James, as he reveals this, is Titus 2:7 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing incorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Many professing Christians today are giving nothing but lip service to God. They say they believe God. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They say they believe in God, but there's no works behind their belief, no action, no surrender, no willingness to follow God. And based on that lack of action, he says in verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He says lip service is not going to be fruitful. There's not going to be anything behind it. Remember when 9/11 happened a long time ago, 2001, wasn't it? 19 years ago. And there was a call out for people to pray. There were people praying. But many people did not know or understand who God was, did not have a relationship with Jesus. And so based on that, that's where you would find a person that would be praying to God, thinking he knew God, but there would be nothing there. It would be empty. Because without the relationship, your prayer is worthless. And that's another thing for us as Christians. If we're not living and striving to follow Christ, I have faith that I'm saved, I'm born again Christian, and as I study the Word of God, I have faith that the Word of God is true. Regardless if I'm able or capable to do, think I can do these things, I know that you can do all things through Christ, which will strengthen me. Thank you. And that comes through the Spirit of God. So I can't do it, but the Spirit of God can do it in me. And so even a Christian who has faith in Christ can pray. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see, there's a faith and an action. Do we believe that Jesus is telling us the truth when he said that? Or is that just something that he said, kind of throwing it out there like, you know, giving us something to shoot at, maybe? I don't know. I think it's true. I think it's real. I don't think Jesus ever told a lie. I don't think he just was using a metaphor or something like that. I think he was telling us the truth, that we could go to him and ask for things. Of course, it's in the will of God. Again, my faith will demonstrate that as I'm studying the Word of God, because I believe that Jesus saved me and I believe the Word of God is true. I want to find out how I should pray, what I should do. So he says here that, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Dead faith. You know, if we were to go down to the morgue, I'm not suggesting you do this, and look into one of the vaults there, you would find a corpse okay, on a slab, as they say. That corpse has dimensions. It even looks like a person, but there's something missing in that corpse, and that is the evidence of life. That's a person. You could even say his name, because that person had a name. But that person has no vital signs. That person has no breath, no heartbeat, no pulse. That person is dead. And that's kind of, as an analogy, I guess, still not the best one, I'm sure, but it's the idea that faith without works is dead. Dead bodies don't breathe, so dead faith doesn't work. But a working faith is dynamic, and that's what he shares, and he gives us an illustration with Abraham. Now, the way he starts this out, again, it kind of misleads you a little bit, but Abraham, he is an example of living faith. He says, and he starts off with this question again, and he gives us a couple. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was made perfect? So he's saying that, in the sense is that, do you see that the fact that Abraham did what he did, that he had faith? That was a proof of faith. He proved his faith by doing what God said. Faith has an action. And faith in Christ, the action is obedience to him. That's the action, obedience to the Lord. When he asks us to do something, go somewhere, whatever it is. And we'll see that, and when we get to chapter 11 of Hebrews, how some of these folks, they demonstrated their faith. In Genesis 22:2-3, as he's speaking here, it says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. That was the command. And then it says, here's the action, because he has faith. This proves his faith, but this is not what gave him faith in God. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. So Abraham is demonstrating that he believes what God says. He is obeying him. He's doing the very thing that God is telling him to do. That demonstrates that I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I am saved by faith. Now I'm going to follow Jesus because I believe him. If I didn't believe him, I wouldn't follow him. Why would I follow him? I wouldn't have faith in him. I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't believe that he would show me and lead me in the right direction. But because I do have faith, I'm going to trust him and obey him. We know the definition of faith. It's given to us in Hebrews chapter 11. Turn over there for a second. It's just one book back, a couple pages. Verse 1, this is faith itself. And of course, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance basically means sitting under support. It's speaking of the substance of things hoped for. It's a, I'm trusting here, this support. And that hope is to expect. I expect it. My faith is that I believe what God says. That's faith. I believe this with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so Abraham had obeyed God by his actions. Look at verse 17 in chapter 11. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. So there's the action. He offered up Isaac. And that he received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from dead, or from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. So we see Abraham's faith was so strong that he believed that if he had offered Isaac, that God would raise him up. Why? Because he already believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, or God, and now he is demonstrating his faith of his belief, because God told him to do it. So when we have faith in Christ, we believe, then what God shows us or reveals to us, that demonstrates I have faith in God. I believe that Jesus saved me. I have faith in that. So what does he want me to do? What's the next step? Where am I to go with that? Well, look at just a couple of these here. Go back to chapter 11. In verse 4 it says, by faith Abel offered. You see the action? He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. If you look at verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, it says, he had, this testimony that he pleased God. What was the action? He pleased God. You see? That's why. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, what's the action? Moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his own house. So his faith in God was demonstrated by being moved with fear and doing what God asked him to do. My faith in God or Jesus is demonstrated when I study the Word of God and God reveals to me that I should do something, and I do it, obeying Him, obeying Him. Now, the works don't come until after salvation. The works are a result of salvation. And that's what James is saying. Verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, the next word says, obeyed. If you look at verse 9, it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. What did he do? He went and sojourned there. These are the actions. These are being obedient. Why are they in the chapter of faith? Because they had faith in God, and in their faith, they demonstrated it by obeying God. They didn't obey God, and then he said, oh, you got faith in me now. Because faith to Abraham was imputed to him for righteousness, right? In verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because, why? She judged him faithful who had promised. She judged God faithful who had promised. She believed that he could do it. And verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They didn't get all that God had promised. Having all the family, the kids, and all this stuff, it says in verse 12. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. There was the action. They were persuaded. They believed. Okay. And embraced them. We're on the racetrack. Okay. Now I'm sick. Okay. Anyway. So here it's demonstrating what this is all about. This faith without works is dead. If I say I have faith and I have no works to back that up, then my faith is probably in vain. It's probably not real. And that's what he talked about. The devils believe God and they tremble. I can say I believe God. I believe that Jesus died for me. I've said a prayer. But that belief is going to be demonstrated in the works that come after. You see? It's the proof in the pudding, if you will. verse 23, he said, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, there's a couple of verses. Nowhere did it say that the verse said exactly that he was called the friend of God like that. It wasn't mentioned like that. Genesis 15:6 is where it says that, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. In other words, he had faith in the Lord, and the Lord said, I'm counting that for your righteousness because you believe. As far as the friend of God, where was that at? I think that was in Exodus 33 or something. I don't think I have it down. But he was a friend of a friend to God. Anyway, I meant to get that in this notes. So, and many times you see the fact that Abraham, it's written in Romans 4:3, for what saith the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So again, you see this over and over. It's not contradictory to James. James, again, is looking at this from a different perspective. He's saying, if you have faith, then you will have works. He's not saying you need to have works to be saved, but you need there will be works after salvation. Again, Romans speaks about God with God in view. It's how man, or excuse me, God sees man. God sees our faith, not in what we do, but in whom we trust. And Romans 10, 9 through 10, we know that passage teaches us that very thing. So faith is only as good as the object it's placed in. I think I mentioned that already. Look at verse 24. It says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And he's trying to convince the reader, this elect scattered, that when you have faith, there's going to be works. And so he's saying that the justification is in the faith in Christ, but there'll be works. If there's no works, then there is no justification. Does that make sense? Is everybody so confused they can't see straight? The simple thought of this is that a person who's saved is going to do something. Follow Christ. Going to obey Christ. Okay? That's what he's talking about. And he gives the other illustration. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? She believed, and then she acted upon her belief. She had heard about Israel coming. She heard about all that Israel had done, and she acted upon that. And through that, of course, she was saving her family. And so he ends this. He says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And it's true. The body without the spirit is dead. Whether that's the spirit of man, which I believe it's talking about the spirit of Christ. Without that spirit in us, we have no hope. The lake of fire is what we have to look forward to. And if we don't have faith in Christ, then there'll be no works. It will be a faith, again, that is vain. I'll give you a quick illustration. We're going to be done here. C.T. Studd, he was a young man at 16. He was an expert cricket player in England. I think it was, or 19, something like that. At 19, he made the captain of the team. He became world famous, a sports personality. And then the Lord changed his direction. While he was attending Cambridge University, he heard Moody preach and was wondrously converted, it says. He soon dedicated his life and his inherited wealth to Christ and spent hours seeking to convert his teammates. Sensing God's leading to full-time service, he offered himself to Hudson Taylor to be a missionary to work in the China Inland Mission. It says, while in that foreign country, he inherited a sum of money equivalent today to $500,000. And in 24 hours, he gave that away, investing in the things of the Lord. It says, later he was forced to go back to England, for his health was failing and his wife was an invalid, but God called him again, this time to the heart of Africa. And Stud was informed that if he went, he would not live long. And this is what the answer he gave to that. He says, his only answer was that he had been looking for a chance to die for Jesus. Faithful unto death, he accepted the call and he labored until he passed away in Africa. Not everybody's calling everybody to Africa, but there are some people that are. And how's that call come? It comes by faith in Jesus Christ and a burden to be obedient to him and serve him. And as you grow in that, God's going to start moving you to do more. Every one of us, he'll start doing more with us. But if we don't, then we end up with having a situation where we don't have the works that we could have had because of the faith we had in Christ Jesus. How strong is your faith? Is it strong enough to believe what the Bible teaches? Is it strong enough to look at the Word of God and say, that's what it says, and God's speaking to me personally? Maybe he's not speaking to you personally. But if he is, are you willing to say yes? Because that's where your faith is demonstrated, in obedience to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for these men that were willing to live the life that you called them to live. Father, I know the folks in this room are living the life that you called them to live. But Father, we also know that you don't save us and leave us where we're at. There's always more learning, there's always more growing, there's always more to do. And as we study your word, and you speak to our hearts through the word, that Father, the choice is ours to just say yes to it, struggle with it, or say no. And I pray that each one of us would at least struggle with the things of God, and allow you to have your way, to change our minds in that, that we can too do what you called us to do. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love for each one of us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.